World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Scrambling here this morning, right at the last minute. Something pops up to me. I want to get in the game here. I may not be at the top of my game today, so I'm gonna lean on all of you today. I don't know if I'm ever gonna fly again. First of all, they treat you like you're criminals before you ever get on the plane. The plane is full. You sit there, sat on the runway. I don't know how long last night. I was supposed to get home at 9, which was pretty. I was someplace out in Minnesota. Anyway, got home. Michelle picked me up at the airport. Got home really, really late last night. So tried to do some show prep today to give us a good show. But I'm sure you guys have a lot of stuff going on out there as well. So let me give you some reflection, if that would be the proper word, some reflection on some things that I learned this weekend. I hadn't traveled in a while. I hadn't COVID. That's the first thing I put up here on my. I make notes to myself in the morning, just in case you wonder when we do the show. Look, there's a lot of us, folks. There's a lot of us. I was in Winona. I don't even sometimes forget the town, Minnesota. Because, hey, Spencer, see if you can pull up real quickly a map of Minnesota. Because, you know, yeah, if somebody lives out in Minnesota, you ask them, where's Cincinnati? Where's Cleveland? You know, we really don't have any idea of others. We really don't have any idea, right? So I'm invited to go to Winona, Minnesota. I go to Winona, Minnesota. I don't have any idea. I don't have any idea where. That's not a very good picture of it. It's not a very good picture. Just this picture of the state. Give me a picture of the state. I didn't know where Minnesota. I didn't know. So I fly into La Crosse, Wisconsin, and then they pick me up at the airport. So Winona is clear down to bottom. See if you can find it, Spencer. Folks, this is important. Stay with me a second. I'm going to try to make a point here. Winona, Mississippi, clear on down to bottom. Clear down to bottom. I hadn't seen it over here on the right end. Clear over on the right side. There it is. Boom. Boom. Winona. See it? Y'all see it? Spencer, put your marker on that for the blind people out there. Winona. Now, right beside Winona is Wisconsin. So I flew into, see, if you don't, you know, we all know the geography around us. Do you know you guys know the geography in New Mexico? You know, it's north of it and south of it. So I was kind of, I didn't know that Winona, Minnesota, was right on the Mississippi River. In fact, I didn't even know, hate to tell you this, that the Mississippi River was up there. Of course, I knew that when I began to think about it. Of course, I knew that. And so we had the opportunity to go there, invited by Dana Blong. And he and his wife just gave us an unbelievable, gave me an unbelievable, it's just great. It's great. Ran into some Coach Dave Livers. Can you believe that? Ran into John Sagan and ran into just, I saw Dan Bukowski came down. We're building something here. Ran into some real Coach Dave Livers that showed up in Winona, Minnesota. But I had something happen there that was really, really even more powerful than that. Let me stop a second. Hey, Spence, did I send you a video this morning of the beautiful place where I stayed? First of all, pull up the picture of my trout. Dana took me trout fishing. That's not it. It's a picture. That's Dan. Look at that. Now, I caught a trout yesterday. Believe it or not, he had a pond with a bunch of trout in it. And it took us about 20 minutes to hook a trout and get out of there. So I didn't spend all day fishing. I brought that thing home, cut the head off of it. He skinned it and everything from it, brought it home on the plane. They let me fly home with it on the plane. So Michelle and I are going to have some trout later on this afternoon. Anyway, I'm losing my, maybe I'm a little bit tired here, right? Put Dan back up there. I want everybody to see Dan was there. There's Dan. He came down with his son, drove all the way down there from clear up top. So Dan, it was good to see you. And I'm sorry I didn't get to spend more time with you. Coach, where were you going? Where were you going? Well, you know me, I'm kind of always the same place, isn't it? I'm always doing an evaluation in my own mind of where we are, the old football coach in me, right? Why aren't we winning? Why aren't we winning? I'm telling you, that's my mindset everywhere I go. Why aren't we winning? What's going on here? Why aren't we winning? So let me say this to you real quickly out there. Look, are you looking at me? I'd love to come to your town. I hate flying. I told Michelle when I got home last night, I don't know if I ever get back on a plane again. I don't know. But I'm just going to appeal to some of you out there. Friends, we have got to begin to get organized. Christians have got to get organized. I'll say it again. Christians have got to get organized. And just, you know, Winona, just like any other town, there's churches everywhere. But can I tell you something? Tell you the truth? There are a lot of disgruntled people sitting in the church because why? They leave church after Sunday service is over and they think, why did I go? Then anybody say amen? You know, I mean, maybe I'm just talking to myself. Why did I go and do that? Now, I'm not being critical. We had a great service on Sunday yesterday. I'm not being critical, yada, yada, yada. You know me. If I go to a church service, I want somebody to call play. I want somebody to call play. When I leave here, coach, what is it you'd have me to do if I was a pastor? If you come to a church service and you leave without an assignment, why did you come? Why did you come? And that's, in my opinion, and in my heart, that's the greatest mess that we have in the American church. Nobody is calling a play and running a play. And I think in here, Coach Dave Live, I think what Randy's doing, what JR's doing. I think of what Craig is doing. I think, should I go on and on and on? People who finally awakened, something's going on. I got to do something about it. And the great thing about Coach Dave Live here is we are rubbing shoulders with other people who know we need to do something. And I'm here. Part of what I do is to help you get organized locally. I'd love to come to you. Look, I went to church service yesterday morning. It was a great group of people. One of the most amazing things, they were all young. All the people there were young and young children. And by the way, that's who we got to get, right? So I don't know, we're 50 there last, I don't know, 50, 50. I don't care. I don't care if it's 50 or 500. Folks, I would love to come and set a fire. If you have like-minded people around you who want to get organized, I'd love to come and do that. Okay. I don't charge anything. If you can cover expenses, okay. If not, that's okay too. I don't try to, this ain't a money making thing for me. Okay. It isn't. It's a passion. It's a call. And I just realized again this weekend, I got to get before people. Why? Because ain't nobody can do it like I do it. Meaning what? Say those hard things with passion in a way that doesn't hurt quite so badly. Friends, we got to up our ante. We got to up our ante. Are you guys looking around? Do you realize that over the last however many years, 4 years, it is obvious now that Joe Biden hasn't been president of the United States. All of his executive orders were signed by an EpiPen. You say an EpiPen? Yeah, a mechanical signature. Do we know that Joe Biden actually put his signature on some of those? Did he really do that? Or did some assistant somewhere down the road? Biden don't know what's going on. Who's been running the American government? Who's been doing all these executive orders and pardoning of these people? We find out it's EpiPen is a computer generated signature. Joe Biden didn't even sign them. He didn't even sign them. Who is running America, friends? At least Donald Trump, say what you will about him, at least he got in front of the world with his pen, showed you he was signing it. And as Biden hasn't been, some of the executive orders, some of the things that he signed, he was on vacation. He wasn't even in the, there's been a lot of fraud going on. And I'm not here to try to, I don't know why I'm here. But I'm here. I guess I'm here to tell you that we got to amp it up, and we have got to get organized. We got to get organized. And I want you to ask yourself this. Many of you who went to church, please don't let this sound like criticism, because it's not, what would you call it? It's an evaluation. It's a perspective on it. Ask. Did you have a homework assignment? Did the pastor say to you, hey, here's what we're going to do this week. Here's the play. I'll see you next Sunday, and we'll talk about how that play went and how we're going to sharpen it. And I don't care what it would be, feeding the home. I don't care what it is. When you walk out of your church, do you have a game plan? And I'm going to tell you, the answer 99% of the time is no. We go to church, and a man stands in front of us, and he opens the Bible, and he tells us what the Bible says. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, what do I do? And is the my wife would say to me, I hear you, sweetheart. Honey, you say the same thing over and over. Friends, the church is the problem, and the church is the solution. But it's not the building. I was so blown away when I walked into that church yesterday and I looked around, and I'm telling you, 80% of people, 80% of them under 50, maybe under 40. I thought, Lord, give us a revival here with young people. Lord, give us a revival with young people. Psalm 78. I heard you, Lord. Pull it up, Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I want you to evaluate, as we read this, I want you to evaluate this. By the way, this is going to be an open phone Monday, because I'm a little bit worn out, yada, yada, yada. I want to hear what you think. I want to hear what you think. I'm going to open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark. Let me do this. I know you guys don't like this. I don't like it. Pull up the Message Bible. Because the Message Bible is just in language that you talk to somebody in your house. You're not in church. If you were trying to relay Psalm 78 to somebody, this is probably how you'd say it, okay? Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on some sweet old truths. Stories were heard from our fathers. Counsel we learned at our mother's knee. Do you guys get the picture? Does anybody besides me remember grandma and grandpa and the family? Anybody remember that, what that was like? You ever remember that? I remember that. And the heritage of my grandfather passed to my dad who passed. I remember that. There's still some bits of that out there. Stories we heard from our father's knee. Counsel we learned at our mother's knee. And we're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. Let me ask you something. Where you go to church, or where you used to go to church, are the youth the focus of your ministry, or is the old rich tithers the focus of your ministry? On Sunday morning when you go to church, at your church, is the message directed at old rich people? Well, they don't have to be rich. Old people. Or is it after the young people? Because boys and girls, if we don't wake up and understand what's going on, we are going to lose a generation. I told you on Monday, I think it was Friday, whatever it was, that when I went to the high school last week and spoke to those kids, we have no connection at all with the next generation.
Amen.
This is Psalm 78, right in front of us again, okay? I'll let you in on some old sweet truth stories we heard from our fathers, counsel we learned from our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. Time out, coach. I'm guilty. How many of you hold family Bible study? My sweet wife, when she picked me up in the wee hours last night, she said, honey, we don't need a church. We just need a group of people around us that we can study the Bible with. And I thought, kaboom.
Amen.
Huh? Why do we want to build churches? Build churches. You pass 50 churches on the way to your church. You know, I'm telling you the truth. And then the reality of it is there ain't no huddle. Nobody's huddling. That church is running a huddle, and that church is running a huddle, and that church is running. That church, you with me? You say, Coach, I hear you, Michelle. Coach, honey, you say the same thing every day. I know I do. I know I do. Because why? I'm like an auto mechanic. I hear that clicking sound in the motor. Something ain't right. I can't not hear it. We should not be losing this battle. But I'm going to tell you this. Your church, most churches, are old people focused. Kids are just an afterthought. Put them in the youth group. Let them do whatever they do and play games, right? We ought to be training real Christian warriors. That's one of the things I admire about Dale. Dale could really amen this. Ever since I've known Dale Socia, ever since I know Pastor Dale Socia, I don't care what he does in his church. I'm just telling him, it's his church. Do what you want to do. I don't care about that. I mean, I do, but you with me? I don't care about that. But I know this. When Dale Socia goes to the abortion clinic, his children are with him. When Dale Socia goes and hands out flyers, his children are with him. And all of a sudden, they've grown up, Psalm 78. They learn from their daddy what it is they're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, they get married. And what do? Well, they start doing it. And did it ever dawn on you that your children aren't serving the Lord because, dare I say it, you never did. They never saw you do it.
Boom.
I'm not mad. It just seems like it. It's so frustrating to me. So frustrating to me. Do you guys understand that the deep state is a paper tiger? It's a paper tiger. These people have been in power. That devil has been in power and using authority he doesn't have as the church plays patty cake. All power has been given unto me, the Bible says. All power. All power. Go ye therefore. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Is your church doing that? Is your church engaging you in the culture? And the answer is not only no, hell no. Why? Because you want to go to church because you want to be encouraged. Look, I love you. I'm just telling you the truth. You need encouraged. You need encouraged. Can you start a Saturday night Bible study at your house? Michelle pounded me over and over. Honey, get Saturday Night Live going. I said, last thing we need is another church. I don't want to. She said, no, not a church. Just get us together. Get us together. Fellowship. Call Mel. See if he can go back against God. We got to do it, friends. Now more than ever, the fields are white. The fields. Now, look, I'm after the saved. I hope we pick up some unsaved along the way, but I'm after the saved. I want to try to win a football game with what we already got. Maybe we'll pick up some other players as we move forward, but we sure as hell, even right in here, got an army. So I'll let you in on some old truths, stories that we heard from our fathers, counsel we learned at our mother's knee, and we're not going to keep it to ourselves anymore. We're passing it along to, let me stop. So I took two dozen hats with me. By the way, some of you, I owe a hat out there. I just got a shipment done. Took me almost 2 months to get the hats printed on. It's crazy. So I took two dozen hats. And it's the most amazing thing. Two dozen hats. Some of the camo cross hats and some of these cross hats. It's how I fund what we do. I charge $20 for a hat. I don't ask people for an offering and then whatever. And like that, the hats are gone. And I looked around, you know what I saw? Kids under the age of 13 wearing the hats. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they sat in and they heard what it was the coach had to say. And at the end of the day, they wanted to put a hat on. They wanted to proudly wear that cross on top of their head. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous thing that he has done. He planted a witness in Jacob. How about this? He planted a witness in Randy. And he set his word firmly in Randy's heart. And then he told Randy, scroll down. Then he commanded Randy. You there, Spence? Scroll down. And then he commanded Randy to teach it to his kids so that the next generation would know it. And all the other generations to come know the truth and tell the stories so their children can trust in God and never forget the works of God, but keep his commandments to the letter. Heaven forbid they should be like their parents, bullheaded, bad, selfish, self-centered, fickle, a faithless bunch who never stayed true to God. And the Ephraimites, armed to the teeth, ran away when the battle started. They were cowards to God's covenant. They refused to walk by his word. They forgot what he had done. Marvels he'd done right before their eyes. Before miracles in plain sight of their parents in Egypt. And what happened? The parents told their kids. They told their kids, here's what the Lord did. And the parents told the kids, and the kids told their kids. He split the sea. They walked right through it. He piled the waters to the right and to the left. He led them by day with a cloud. They're telling this to their children. He led them by day with a cloud, and he led them all night with a fiery torch. He split the rocks in the wilderness, gave them all they could drink from underground springs. He made creeks flow out of sheer rock and water poured out like a river. And what happened? All they did was sin even more. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. That's all they did was sin even more.
Amen.
Rebel in the desert against the high God. They put them in public schools and sent them to expensive universities and hung $150,000 in debt from Harvard and Yale and Otterbein and Capital. Because they told them they had to be smart and they had to go to the devil's kids for them to be educated. Got to send them to the public school. Send them to that public school where they'll learn the doctrines of demons, not learn anything about God. I'm just venting. It was a long ride home. All they did was sin and more. Rebel in the desert against the high God. And they tried to get their own way with God. They clamored for favor, for special attention. They whined like spoiled children. Why can't God give us a decent meal out here in this desert? Sure, he struck the rock and water flowed. Creeks cascaded from the rock. And how about some fresh baked bread? Hey, folks, how about some fresh baked bread out there? How about a nice cut of meat in 2000, whatever this is? When God heard about it, oh boy, was he ticked off. His anger flared against Jacob. Not the love of God. No. It wasn't the love of God. It was the wrath of God flared against Jacob. He lost his temper with Israel. It was clear they didn't believe God. Don't get me going there. It's clear who didn't believe God? Israel. It's clear Israel didn't believe God. And they had no intentions of trusting in his help. But God helped them anyway. Commanded the clouds, gave orders that opened the gates of heaven. He rained down showers on manna to eat. He gave them bread of the heaven. They ate the bread of the mighty angels, and he sent them all the food that they could ever eat. He let the east wind break loose from the skies. He gave strong push to the south wind. This time it was the birds that rained down, succulent birds, an abundance of birds. He aimed them right for the center of their camp. All around the tents were birds. They ate and had their fill, and he handed them everything they craved on a platter. But their greed knew no bounds. They stuffed their mouths with more. And somebody say amen. I just need one of you out there to say amen. I'm going to wait.
Amen.
They stuffed their mouths with more and more. And finally, God was fed up with it. His anger erupted. He cut down their brightest and best. He laid low Israel's finest young men. Can you believe it? They still kept right on sinning. All those wonders, they still wouldn't believe. So their lives wasted away to nothing. Nothing to show for their lives but a ghost town. When he cut them down, they came running for help. They turned and they pled for mercy. They gave witness that God was their rock, that God was their redeemer. But they didn't mean a word of it. They lied through their teeth the whole time. Betty, say amen. Say amen, Betty. You tell amen. Me this isn't modern America, huh? They could not have cared less about him. And they wanted nothing to do with his covenant. And God, compassionate, forgave their sin. He didn't destroy. Over and over, he reigned in his anger and restrained his considerable wrath. He knew what they were made of. He knew there wasn't much to them. How often in the desert they had spurned him, tried his patience in those wilderness years. Time and again, they pushed God to the limit. They provoked Israel's holy God. How quickly they forgot what he'd done. Forgot the day of rest. See, we've forgotten America, haven't we? Haven't we forgotten it? The sacrifices that people have made here. Christian America. Christian America. And they schedule basketball and football games on Sunday morning, and churches don't even say anything about it. How quickly they forgot what he'd done. They forgot their day of rescue from any, when he did miracles in Egypt, wonders on the plain of Zon, turned the river and its streams to blood, not a drop of water fit to drink. He sent flies, which ate them alive, and frogs. Drove them crazy. He turned their harvest over to caterpillars and everything they had worked for to locusts. He flattened the grapevines with hail. Killing frost ruined. Been watching the weather? The killing frost ruined their orchards. He pounded their cattle with hail, let thunderbolts loose on their herds. His anger flared, a wild firestorm of havoc. Is there a wild firestorm of havoc around us today or not? An advanced guard of disease-carrying angels. Huh? Somebody say COVID and COVID-2 and COVID-8 and COVID-12. An advanced guard of disease-carrying angels to clear the ground, preparing the way before him. And by the way, he didn't spare those people. He let the plague rage through their lives as well. Scroll on down. Yeah, he let the plague ruin their lives. He killed all the Egyptian firstborns. Lusty infants, offspring of Ham's virility. And he led his people out like sheep, took his flock safely through the wilderness. He took good care of them. They had nothing to fear. The sea took care of the enemies for good. And he brought them into this holy land, this mountain. He claimed it for his own. He scouted everyone who got in their way. He staked out an inheritance for them. The tribe of Israel all had their own places. Tribes of Israel, Caucasus, mountains. Okay, I'm sorry. But they kept on giving him a hard time. Rebelled against God, Most High. They refused to do anything he told them. Well, they went to church on Sunday and they raised their hands and they sang songs. And other than that, they didn't do a damn thing. They were worse, if that's possible, than their parents. Oh, dude. They were worse, if possible, than their parents. Traitors, crooked as a corkscrew. Their pagan orgies provoked God's anger. Their obscene idolatries broke his heart. When God heard the carryings on, he was livid. He posted a huge no over Israel. He walked off and left Shiloh empty, abandoned the shrine where he had met with Israel. He let his pride and joy go to the dogs, turned his back on the pride of his life. He turned them loose on the fields of battle, angry. He let them fend for themselves. The young men went to war, and they never came back. Somebody say amen. It's judgment of God. They want to do that again. They want to do that right now, don't they? Still want to do that. Huh? Scroll down, Spence. The young men went to war, never came back. The young women waited in vain. The priests were massacred. The widows never shed a tear. And suddenly the Lord was up on his feet, like someone roused from a deep sleep, shouting like a drunken warrior. Who was the Lord? He hit his enemies hard. He sent them running, yelping, not daring to even look back. He disqualified Joseph as his leader. He took Ephraim. He told Ephraim he didn't have what it takes. He chose the tribe of Judah instead. Mount Zion, which he loved so much. He built a sanctuary there, resplendent, solid, and lasting as the earth itself. And then he chose David, his servant, handpicked from the work in the sheep pens. Some of you, hey, look, are you looking at me? Some of you have been working in sheep pens. It's time to come out. Time to come out. Handpicked from his sheep pens. One day he was caring for the ewes and their lambs. And the next day, God grabbed him by the nape of the neck and he started shepherding Jacob, his people Israel, in his prized possession. His good heart made him a good shepherd. And he guided the people wisely and well. Do you ever look at yourself as a shepherd? Are you capable of shepherding? Are you capable of having a home fellowship? Just some friends getting around and praying for one another and encouraging one another? Or are you going to go to that church again, sit there where some guy gets up in front of you and talks? Well, you do some music, and then some guy gets up and talks to you for 45 minutes and then says, see you next week, and you go home and you're no more, huh? And you think, Lord, there's got to be. Am I talking to anybody out there? Man, oh man, oh man. Pull up for me a post by Gabriel. I'll open it up here. I could go on and on. Folks, the problem is us. Problem's us. The problem ain't sinners acting like sinners. They're just acting like their daddy. Why won't we act like our daddy? Why won't we fight for our daddy? Why won't we defend our daddy? Why do we allow, church I'm talking to now, the body of Christ, why do we allow doctrines of demons to be taught to our children, an unsaved people in an unsaved public school? Public school. Teaching the values of the public. Say, Coach, you shouldn't be criticizing the church. It's a body of Christ. Yeah. And I'm part of it. I'm part of it. And I'm telling us, we got some fat hanging over our belt. Self-serving Christianity. Bless me, Lord. Oh, Lord, 10 ways to be blessed for 10 days. Whatever. Over and over. Never a thought. Never ever in church does anybody ever encourage you to go get in the battle. Go get in the battle. How many of you have gone to the pastor, whatever, the leader of your church, and said, Pastor, I'm really concerned about what's going on down there in those public schools. Pastor, let's go to the next school board meeting. How many think he'll go? Huh? How many think he'll go? So it's time for us to do what the scripture says. Come out from among them and be thee separate. And touch not the unclean thing. Stop it. Stop it. What's this guy's name? Charlie Kirk? This is a short one. Minute 25. Singing my song here. Go ahead, play that.
Hey, watch this. Let me know what you think.
You know, Donald Trump's not as pro-life as me. I say, well, has your pastor spoke out regularly against the slaughter of the unborn? Well, no, my pastor doesn't do politics. Oh, so you want Donald Trump to speak out on holy matters when the person you tithe and offer to that you call your home church won't even whisper about it. Got it.
Man. That's good.
Let's remind each other what church is. Church is not a place where you go to be affirmed. Church is a place where you go to be saved and corrected. It is not a place to be told about how your lifestyle is the greatest thing ever. You go there to be reminded that you need a savior and that your life is currently in error. But people don't like that. They say, well, that's not very nice if I tell the people that come to church in that way. Well, hold on a second. What exactly are you running here? Is it a church, which is about correction and elevating the divine? Or is it a place where a TED talk occurs with organized parking, above average coffee, and a motivational speech, and good music with nice lights? What exactly are you running there? You see, a church in its proper context, as Andrew has done a great job throughout his career, and what a great example, by the way, for other pastors to follow. A church should be unafraid to go against the culture and not conform to the world, but preach the word.
John 10, bring it up for me real quick. John 10. Get lined up here. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. John 10. John 10. Are you listening? Are you looking at? Here's what I'm saying, okay? I love you. Come out from among them and be ye separate. What? So, yeah. Yeah, I hate to tell you this. I'm not encouraging you to go to some of these sheep pens. I'm not encouraging you to do it. For verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Talking about the guy or gal, shouldn't be a gal, but the guy standing in your pulpit. He entered not by the door, he came in some other way. Well, how else would he get in there if he didn't come in by the door? But he entereth in not by the door. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, they open the door and they welcome him in. His sheep hear his voice and call his own name. And here it is. You ready? And let me do this again. To him, the porter opens the door. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. He doesn't build a bigger sheep pen. If you think that's what Christianity is about, building a bigger sheep pen, which is, by the way, the focus of most Christianity. Sorry when I use most. Sorry. You know what I'm talking about. He leads them out. If you're a pastor right now and you're watching this, or if you send it to your pastor, or if you want to cut this segment right here, just cut this little segment and send this to his pastor and ask your pastor this question. Pastor, when did you last lead us out? That's a pretty revealing question. Pastor, they're teaching vile things to our children in public schools. Pastor, when are you going to lead us out against it? And when he putteth forth his own sheep, this is Dale Socia. I just know this because I know Dale Socia. Clint Harper. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes out before him. He doesn't send JR to the city council. He doesn't send JR to the school board meeting. He takes JR with him. You see this picture? When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before him. The sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. By the way, number 5, the stranger will they not follow. But they're going to flee from him. Why? Because they don't know the voice of strangers. Here's what's going on. Pastor, I just want to encourage you out there, pastors. You start leading them out, they're going to leave. You start leading them out, and they're going to leave. That's why it's very, very important, wherever you're going to church, wherever your pastor is, to not get caught up into big building programs, big expansions, building a bigger church with more debt, so you have to have more people come in, pay more tithes, so you can pay for the debt that you shouldn't have got in the first place. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they didn't understand it. Jesus is talking about the shepherds, and they don't get it. So he says, let me change gears here. Verse 7. Folks, this is the word of God. The Bible says it. I believe that settles it. Then Jesus said to them, okay, hang on. Let me start over, Jesus says. Y'all didn't get it. I say unto you, I'm the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Don't miss this. But the sheep did not hear him. Boys, let me explain again. I'm the door, Jesus said. By me, if any man enters in, he's going to be saved. Who? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. And he shall go in and out. What? Yeah, he's going to come in and out. He's going to come and he's going to go. Come and go. Come and go. Now hang on. The thief. Hang on, Spencer. Little teaching here. Thief. See that word, folks? The thief. We love, people love to say that the thief, oh, that thief, he cometh not but to steal and to kill. And to, oh, that devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. I hear pastors say that and I want to gag because that is not what it says. Go back to verse one. Go back to verse one. He identifies for you the thief. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that gets into the pulpit and didn't go the way he should have gone, comes in some other way, that dude's a thief. He identifies it for you. A hireling pastor is the thief and a robber. So then he goes down and says, the thief, huh? The hireling pastor came to steal and kill and to destroy. Stop following him. Am I out of line, Dale? Am I out of line? Follow me. Let's go. Let's go. Follow me. I'm the good shepherd. Why? Because the pastor, the good pastor, lays down his life for the congregation, for those that are following. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd. Evidently, there's a difference between a hired hand. Ask yourself this very question. Would you trust your grandkids just to somebody coming down? Hey, will you watch my kids here for a couple hours? Well, how about this? How about, here'd be a good one. Hey, how about if I send my children to you 8 hours a day? You take care of them for me 8 hours a day? Oh, teach them whatever you want to. That's okay. Well, will you do that? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, you are. You do it every day. A hireling, public school. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd. Oh my goodness, there's a difference between a shepherd and a hireling. Whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. Folks, who's the wolf? The shepherd, the fake hireling shepherd, sees the devil. Sees him coming. And what does he do? He leaves the sheep. And he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep. And scatters them. And never come back to church again. You see, the hireling flees, verse 13 says. Because he's just doing it for the paycheck. The prestige. He don't care for the sheep. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. All right. 7 minutes and 45, 7 hours, 45 minutes I've gone on. Now, don't come in here and tell me what a wonderful pastor you have. I believe you. I believe you. But you ask yourself this about your pastor. Is he leading you out? When did he last lead you out? When I went to Minnesota this weekend for this wild game dinner they had, they didn't hold it at their church. They held it at the Eagles Club. I think it was the Eagles. They rented the Eagles. Why? Because the average person you hang out with, the last place he wants to go is church.
Boom.
We're supposed to go get them. So in other words, go to the Eagles where they drink and party. Go on their turf. Go to their turf. Invite them on their turf. Not come to our turf. Do you understand that the average guy who's not a Christian, he ain't coming to church. He ain't coming to church. He's sick of Christianity, fake Christians. He don't want to be one of those. Not that he doesn't want to be a good man. It's not that he's not worried about his spiritual condition. It's not any of that stuff. But he, first of all, don't want to be with those phonies, just using his words, or doesn't feel worthy. Doesn't feel worthy. And what do we say? I'm sorry. Listen, I love y'all. No, I don't. I don't love y'all. What do we say? You have to come to my church and hear my pastor. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, when you're doing an evaluation on your pastor, whatever you're not, ask yourself this question. When is the last time he led you out? One more thing. Feeding the poor and handing out book bags when kids go to school. That's a start. But that ain't where the battle's being fought. Kids aren't losing their foundation because they don't have a book bag. They're losing their foundation because nobody will tell them what's right and what's wrong. I feel better. Somebody come on in. I got more. Somebody come on in. First of all, I got to say this. Huh? You ready? 5 years later, not one vaccine, not one mask. I'm still standing better than I ever did. Oh. Huh? 5 years! 5 years! And I hate to say it, I look around me and they're dropping like flies. Because Sherry Tenpenny told me 5 years ago, Coach, it's not going to show up till later and people aren't even going to make the connection. And boom, here we are. And, God, Lord, do I have to say that? Yeah, okay, I will. Your church shut down. Why? Because the guy standing in the pulpit believed the lies of the enemy. Shut me up. I've only got 13 minutes. I was going to do all morning. I was going to hear what you guys wanted to say. And I just, thanks for letting me get this out of me. I was so frustrated in the airport. Lord, give me a plane. Don't make me go sit in that airport one more time. Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, Coach, thanks for the teach this morning. It's hard, right? It's hard when the truth hits right between the eyes. But so.
Hey, Dave, let me stop you a second. It's like my wife. I don't want to criticize my wife. I love my wife. And a lot of you love your pastor and you don't want to criticize him. But when are you going to go up to him and say, hey, pastor, when are you going to lead us out? Pastor, when are we going to go do something? Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so, Coach, I never watched mainstream media ever. But yesterday morning, we were visiting our son, and we went to a restaurant, and they had a big screen TV in the restaurant, and there was CBS News was on the whole time. And the good news is they didn't have any sound on it, but they had the closed captions going. I fully understand how people are indoctrinated, right? The whole program was nothing but propaganda, indoctrination. Still pushing hard the COVID shots, how wonderful the COVID shots were. The COVID shots saved 14 million people at least in the United States. You know that, Coach.
Oh, yeah.
Two million people died because they didn't get the COVID shot. They let me know that yesterday morning. So good.
How'd you make it, Dave?
Well, and I don't know. I guess I was just too dumb to take it.
Right.
So, anyhow, that's what they told me. I was just too dumb to take it. Nothing has changed. The mainstream media, they're going to sell this thing right to the end. But I felt bad. We went by a high school on the way out, and the high school was packed out. And I said, wow, this is Sunday morning. It's interesting. And Sherry said, yeah, there's somebody going in, a student going in with some kind of a uniform on. So there's some kind of sporting event on Sunday morning, right? And so uh, the, the school has totally taken over the indoctrination. They've taken the kids. They now they have sporting events on Sunday morning. They've got wrestling for little kids and all kinds of stuff going on Sunday morning. And you know, and this is America.
It is, brother. And, they think it never enters their mind that they shouldn't do stuff on Sundays. It never enters their mind, does it?
And half the people weren't in church because the night before they had the Irish pub crawl, right?
Yep. Oh my goodness. Hey, Spence. Hate to do this to you folks. Pull up 1 Corinthians 14. Can I give you a picture of church according to Paul? And again, ask yourself this. I'm sorry, for Holy Spirit's all over me here, okay? The average Christian man in America has never prayed publicly. By praying publicly, I mean the pastor says to your church, is there anybody that would like to lead us in prayer? The average Christian man has never done that. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Or maybe they'll pray with a friend. Maybe.
Amen.
Publicly pray and proclaim. Would somebody like to pray? There ought to be a fight for the microphone. There ought to be a fight for it. Right? But I want you to see, as we scroll down to verse 26, this talks about spiritual gifts, but I want you to see this, folks. Right there. Start right there. 26. How is it then, brothers and sisters, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm. Every one of you has a doctrine. Every one of you has... Folks, this is a group chat. Church is a group chat. Why? Because believe it or not, in the middle of church, Susie Baldwin might get a revelation from the Lord that I didn't get or the pastor didn't get. She ought to be able to raise her hand and say, what about this? Why? Because when you come together, everybody has a psalm, everybody has a doctrine, everybody has a tongue, everybody has a revelation, everybody has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Church is not going to a building, praise and worship for 20 minutes, dancing around, raising your hands. Some guy gets up there and talks to you for 40 minutes, and then you do an offering, and then you go, that ain't, folks, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Amen.
That ain't church. That ain't church. No. You know what I love about this show right here? About this church right here? I can't wait to hear what Vinny has to say, or what Dave Allison has to say, or what Randy has to say, or what Vinny might say, or what Angela might say, or anyone. What? What? Oh, yeah. You mean you might have an opinion? You might have a word? You might have a song? Hey, how is it then? Hey, do me a favor real quickly. Message Bible. Same verse, Message Bible. Bear with me a second. Good job, Spence. I'm going to send you $5. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared for something that will be useful for all. Anybody, the pastor ever tell you that? Pastor ever said, hey, when you come Sunday, man, you bring something. You be ready to feed somebody. Sing a hymn. Teach a lesson. Tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. If prayers are offered in tongues, two or three is the limit. And then only if someone is there to interpret it. Otherwise, keep it between you and God and yourself. And no more than two or three speakers in a meeting. I'm talking about tongues here, right? The point being, you're supposed to go. It's a potluck. You're supposed to bring something when you go to church. Give a testimony. Encourage somebody else. This happened to me. But see, we can't do testimony time in church because it would interfere with the pastor's message, which he spent all night preparing. Or, but can I say it? Copied out of some book that he has. Because why? We expect the church to be. I go to church, the pastor preaches, and I go home. That's what Christians do. I never miss Sunday morning. I go every Sunday morning. Pastor preaches. I go home. I want to do something about it. I want to turn this. Watching right now is an army. And we can't sit around and wait anymore for the pastors to get it. Pastor Clint, I'm not talking about you. Pastor Dale, I'm not talking about you. You guys know that. You know that. You're doing it. How do we get others to do it? I got 5 minutes. Somebody raise your hand. I'm sorry if I spanked you. I'm not sorry if I spanked you. I'm sorry if it hurt. Go ahead, Randy.
So, church or coach, we have to model this. We have to give someone a model so they can know how to do it. So, coach, the model is as a house church. I mean, it's just a gathering. You can do it on any day. It doesn't have to be on Saturday or Sunday. But
Randy, my wife, you know what my wife said? She said, my wife, I love my wife. She says, honey, can you get Saturday Night Live started? I miss the fellowship. I said, oh, daggone. Not church. She doesn't miss church. She misses the fellowship. Can anybody else out there say amen? Go ahead, Randy.
Amen, coach. Amen. Well, so if we can preach this, we got to live it, coach. So everyone here listening to you, look, you can have house church in your home. You can set a time and invite some people. I'm telling
don't even
you,
call, coach, Randy, don't even call it church, right? Don't even
No,
call
you don't
church.
Need to. No, just call it an assembly. Let's assemble and see what God does. But I guarantee you, before long, if it's real, it'll be active. You won't keep it in the house. It'll go outside. And that's the proof of it. The evidence is in what happens after you meet. That's what tells you if you really have an assembly.
So, Randy, it'd be like no matter how well you practiced football, the scoreboard will tell the end. It's going to tell you when after the game's over, right? So what's our scoreboard, folks? How are we doing on the score? How are we doing? How's the American church doing? Go ahead, Betty. Thanks, Randy.
I agree with Randy because I have it on Thursday night. And so they were supposed to start at 6. They usually get there at 5, so I have to be ready. And we sit and talk till 6. Then we have Bible study till about 7, 7:15. I tell you what, it's the fellowship because a lot of times they don't leave till 9:30 or 10, just talking.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Christian brothers, that's why the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, look, I'm going to throw this challenge out here. I'd love to come. I don't care where you are. I'd love to come. And I'd love to help you with a group of people that you want to fellowship with. Now, look, are you looking at me? I ain't trying to build no church. I ain't trying to build no ministry. I mean, I have a ministry. I'm not trying. It ain't about following Coach Dave. If you can get together a group of 15 people, 20 people, I would love to come, encourage you, and help train, equip, and mobilize you for the work of the ministry right where you live. See, we got to get beyond being keyboard warriors. Hey, folks, you're in this huddle. It's time. Hold your ears. It's time you got your ass in the game. How long are you going to be content just to be in the huddle? And I want to help you through the power of the Holy Spirit actually engage for the cause of Christ. That's what it's about. We got to stop this people pleasing. I'm okay. You are okay. You feel good. We're in a war. It don't always feel good. It ain't always fun. And they aren't always going to love you. Are we going to be in a war or are we not going to be in a war? And that we have to make a decision. I'm not trying to start a church. I'm not trying to start a denomination. I'm trying to help build around you a network of people that can begin to grow. What you do with it is up to you. Where you take it is up to you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to sit around and wait for your local pastor to do it, you're wasting your time, or he would already done it. Man, oh man, I feel better. I woke up kind of in a bad mood because I got in really late. I saw yesterday, last night before I went to bed. I never do that. I hate flying. I'll come, but I hate it. I'm going to drive. I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive. I hate flying. Amen. God bless you. Do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See you tomorrow.